State Senator Jason Berrickman. He brings with him one of his boys. This is Wally. Wally is just hanging around. Augie already at school. You're just the greatest dad.
Daddy duties.
Giving mom a break and...
Mom's got her hands full.
Dad made breakfast. I see Dad made breakfast this morning. We have cereal in a baggie.
Cooked is a stretch, right?
Yes, but I did say make.
I coordinated breakfast.
So you have, I'm guessing, three under the age of six.
That's right.
Wow.
Our oldest turned six later this month. And we've got January 30th, we had our third child, a girl. So she's, we're going through that stage of life, and it's fun and tiring.
I drink
a lot of coffee.
I was just talking to somebody the other day. The pictures of me with my boys when they were his age, generally I'm either lying on the floor or lying in my bed.
Great places
just
to
wearing
be.
You out.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to play on the floor so I can lay down.
Right. And, they need the wrestling and the.
Right.
But yeah, it,
now,
wears you out.
I'm old enough. Back in the day, I had carpeting. Do you have carpeting in your house?
Sure. We have some wood floors.
You're doing pony? Okay.
Yeah.
So you're not doing pony rides on ceramic or wood hardwood floors?
That's right.
That's never fun.
Bad on the knees. Like football,
Yes.
Being a dad. Tough on the knees.
I know.
Very tough.
Been there. All right. Godspeed, my friend. Godspeed. So, and because Wally's here, I can't really be mean to you because what I wanted to do was just kind of strangle you.
Yeah, Wally will protect
you.
Wally's my protector.
I will protect you from that.
Don't take it personally. But I said, I'm just so, we had the governor on yesterday, and I know he's trying. We had Bill Brady on Monday. I really don't think he's trying much. It's just, okay, you guys are wearing me out. I don't even want to talk about the budget.
It's frustrating, I think, for 13 million people in this state. It's frustrating for all of us who are down there in it. It is, and I've been saying this for a while, it's not a pleasant environment. And I don't think people care at home whether or not it is. But that shows you the level of frustration that exists within the members. I mean, we have cordial, generally cordial relationships with one another.
So you're at least making eye contact with the other side of the aisle?
I think everyone wishes they could just go home and wash their hands of it. But the reality is, we've got an obligation to try to get something done. And we're in the month of May, which tends to be the month where things happen. The hope here is, and what we're trying to do every day, there are continued negotiations. We're down to the budget stuff right now. The hope is that we can do something that has not been done here in, 2 years? And it's a very frustrating, tiresome process, but it's critically important for us to do it and to do it right.
Was it last May? I wish I'd have kept what you said in the archives.
The dark days? The dark days of summer, I think I said we were barking upon.
You were the only one. Everybody else was saying, and I'm still hearing the optimistic word. We heard it from the governor yesterday. But let me ask you.
Well, we want to be optimistic, right? But I also I take the approach of I want to be realistic with people about what's going on. I don't want to sell you a false bill of goods, right? And the reality is that things are toxic, is how I usually describe it in Springfield, and that doesn't yield positive results. So we're going to try, we're going to try, but it is a look. I get one vote, I get a voice and a vote in this thing, and if we had a dictatorship, I think
I think we do.
Well, things would be different depending on who the dictator was then, right? But we're trying to work through the democratic process of putting together 30 votes in the Senate, which is what it takes to pass a budget. And thus far, we've not been able to do that in a bipartisan way.
Let me ask you a question I've asked everyone, I didn't ask the governor. Are you happy with the way he's handled this? Or is there, if you could give him one suggestion, what would it be?
Well, look, it's easy to judge, from the back seat here. There are certainly decisions that the governor and the administration has made, dating back to day one that I think you can look at today and say this should have been different. Day one was the question of whether or not you know, the Democrats, when Quinn lost the election and Rauner was about to step in, there was a discussion about whether to extend tax rates. And the governor said that that shouldn't happen, that there should be a negotiation over those rates and the budget. And here we are today without any of that. You know, I think people have legitimately questioned whether that was the right decision. And look, for, you know, for Republicans, that would have been a decision that the Democrats would have made, but Rauner said not to.
And how much money we talking? $8 billion, was it?
Tons, yeah. So, you know, that to here we are today, yesterday, I mean, it's brutally amazing. We're in the month of May, and you've got political candidates up on TV advertising and commercials for an election that is well over a year
on the radio too.
On the radio, yes.
We're
very true.
Them here.
So that makes the governance side of this stuff incredibly difficult. And if you look at a group of labor officials, it's called Local 150, but a group of labor officials have already come out and endorsed one of the Democratic candidates in the primary. That's a group that sometimes we have been successful as Republicans in working with. And here they are, you know, over a year ahead saying, hey, we're going in a different direction. We're picking a Democrat. We're picking them in May. You know, it is a ridiculous situation.
Does that surprise you, though? Because Governor Rauner has been pegged for months and months and months as the anti-union mm-hmm. governor.
Right, but I think what's surprising here, you know, so when you boil all this down, what's surprising here is it's May, and we're at a time when we should be knee-deep in the governance and negotiations over things that affect people's lives, like the budget, all the things that the legislature's been incapable of acting on. But instead, we're all looking at and listening to TV, radio, commercials, political statements and rhetoric, all of which suggest that we're transitioning to a election cycle rather than a getting something done.
Well, what Cullerton said, stop campaigning and start governing.
But that goes to both sides. You know, I mean, it's not fair to, you know, look, I don't like that the campaign season seems to be starting. But the reality is Rauner is taking heat from Democratic candidates who announced they're running to beat him in an election.
Yeah.
And what's he supposed to do? He's got to stand up and defend himself. So I don't like that situation, but it's the hand we're dealt with. We're in May. The job right now is for us to continue this month to try to get something done and enact a budget here.
Well, and as you talk about that, it's just uneasy to everybody that's involved. So here you are as a nonprofit organization or somebody that needs the help, whether it be a school, all these other organizations, and they're seeing an election as opposed to people fighting to get that budget that they so desperately need. It's putting the whole state into even more of an unease than we were already in. That's the part that's so disheartening.
It's very disheartening. And I'll tell you, you know, the schools is an important component of this. I was I did some media with a Democrat colleague of mine many weeks, a few months ago, where the discussion was, how are you guys going to approach this spring session, the spring legislative session? And his response was, we're going to take a strategy of not passing a school budget because we want the schools to close this fall, because we think if the schools don't open, there's either going to be pressure for the Republicans to cave or the governor to cave, mm-hmm. or the governor's going to own the fact that schools aren't open. And I looked, I said, first of all, I said, that's a crazy, crazy strategy.
He said this on a broadcast?
Oh, yes. On a broadcast. Absolutely.
What was his name?
Dave Kaler, Peoria, TV.
Wow.
So, excuse Wally.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know,
okay.
Now I was sat there. I couldn't believe that this was, you know, that people were admitting that this would be their strategy. And, you know, the notion that we're all going to go back to our districts, talk to the people in our community, and that schools may not be opened, I think is a, you know, it's clearly a game changer.
All right, let's talk about schools, because you're going to propose mm-hmm. Your funding plan for schools here tonight down in Springfield.
Tonight.
Tonight.
We don't pick the time.
Some one school, I don't know where it was.
I'm tired by tonight. I just want to let you know I would rather you did it this morning.
There was a school district that came out last week saying if you guys don't pass a budget, we are closing at Thanksgiving. That's it.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think there are school districts who will close by Thanksgiving. I think there will be some who close earlier without a budget. You know, some school districts, to their credit, have, you know, very good rainy day reserve funds. Some of them have taken heat for that, in fact, decision, which is kind of ironic right now. But there are many schools who just don't have those reserve funds. They either don't have the ability to have them or they've spent them. You know, right now it's not like the dollars are flowing from Springfield. Wally wants a budget,
Wally
too.
Wants, yeah.
So I think, you know, come this summer, schools are going to make choices about how they're going to operate this fall. And absent a budget this summer, I don't know how they can plan for, you know, hope, the Hail Mary that may result. I think they're going to start making plans for the fact that Springfield may not have a budget, and you're going to see a lot of chaos from that.
All right, what you're proposing tonight? Let's talk about that and the odd hour in which it's going to happen. 6 o'clock tonight down in Springfield. I thought you guys always wrapped business up by 4 p.m.
You know, we have gone very late before. This is an odd time for a committee hearing. You know, but
is this strategery on the Democrats' part?
You know, I think if I were in control, I'm not. But if I were in control and I really didn't want to give something the time of day, I think Thursday at 6 p.m. it'd probably be a good time to make sure that something doesn't get a lot of attention. But, you know, it kind of is what it is. So, yeah, tonight we're going to introduce or discuss the education funding plan, which I've been advocating now for many years. And it's in a bill form. In other words, I've introduced legislation. It's some 500 pages long. It's a very serious, I think, good bill. I think Democrats will look at it. And, you know, they're going to have some questions. But I think the feedback that I've got most recently has been very supportive. It's that this is a good bill that will help solve a problem in our schools and the way in which we fund our schools. And it's done in a manner that is, even though it's introduced by a Republican, this is designed to be something, whether you call it a compromise or what have you, it's designed to be something that should attract Democratic votes. So we're going to go through the hearing tonight, present it. They're not allowing a vote on it tonight. It's all kind of part of the process. But this is important to have this public vetting and give me an opportunity to receive feedback from not only legislators who sit on the committee, but the various stakeholders who will come tonight and provide testimony for or against what it is that I'm proposing.
So when you saw that they were going to allow you to do this, but it's going to be a 6 o'clock on a Thursday night, are you thinking now, well, this doesn't have a snowball's chance if this is how they're playing right now?
Well, it's an uphill battle for any Republican to pass significant legislation that like this. Huge change in public policy for us to do this. The fact that I'm getting a hearing is something I think significant. And so, you know, do you kind of roll your eyes at the way in which it's being done? It is what it is. I'm glad to get a hearing on it because I think the reason a hearing is being held is because a lot of school superintendents, school board members, people within the education community who want to see this fixed, believe that this is an idea that warrants a debate, and so they've put pressure on the committee chairman and the Democrats to say, "Look, give this thing some sunshine."
Can you give us in a nutshell, like your elevator speech, on what you're going to be proposing tonight?
Sure. I mean, look, every year we what a bad lead, Scott.
Yeah.
When a school budget is passed, and in fact, we have passed a school budget every year. Hold on a minute.
Hold on, Wally. Every year
when a school budget is passed, X dollars go from the state of Illinois to public schools. People look at that and they say, how does that happen? It's not like every child gets $1,000. How is it that this school got this much and that school? And the answer right now is impossible to defend. What I propose is that we use data and best practices to determine what schools get how much money. And by doing that, by tying it to data and best practices, we remove the politics from that equation and we create a more logical conclusion for budget decisions. What happens if we invest $300 million more in schools? If you use the data and best practices, what you'll say is that we will lower class sizes, we will provide an opportunity for your low-income school districts and students to be lifted to another tier where they have a greater opportunity to receive an education that prepares them for the world-class environment that we expect them to compete in. So it's that data piece. It's tying it to the data rather than it simply being a political and arbitrary decision of how we spend money on our schools.
Do you hear yourself? You are asking the state of Illinois to take politics out of something like education?
You know, and here's the beauty of this. This is, though it's a newer concept, other states have implemented this. And for taxpayers who often wonder, how is it that we decide to spend more money or less money on this or that, this, within the $6 to $7 billion that we spend on schools, this gives taxpayers a better understanding, hopefully more confidence, that they're not just throwing money at schools arbitrarily. There's a lot of criticism about that today. But instead, there's more of a data-driven approach to how we fund our schools.
How do the school districts here in your district, Unit 5, District 87, what was their reaction to your proposal?
You know, we've talked about this with both superintendents and board members and others for a long time. The reaction I've gotten from them is very positive. Though, you know, Unit 5, District 87, and really the schools throughout McLean County and Central Illinois are schools who have varying levels of needs. And I think, you know, by and large, the feedback that I've got is that by using this data, we have appropriately identified the needs that exist. And when you model it, so you say how much, you know, let's put this amount of money through what happens, what we're seeing is that the money's getting to those districts who are most in need.
All right. Hey, good luck to you down in Springfield tonight, 6 o'clock. Can I catch that on YouTube or something while I'm eating dinner?
It will be. They live stream it and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Go for it.
All right.
Wally, say goodbye.
Hey, Wally,
say,
you know, you've been a great kid.
Bud.
You want to say hi to everybody, Wally?
Say hi, Mom.
Just say hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah.
The behind the scenes, Jason is talking and wiping his nose at the same time.
He's
my nose?
He's the dad.
He's a dad.
Yeah. All right.